We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
Pennies Going in Raw is a production of iHeartRadio. The opinions expressed in the following podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide education and entertainment about the financial industry and the stock market. Enjoy!
On this episode of Pennies Going in Raw, we discuss this week in the market, stocks going up as a result of the Roe vs. Wade, and more.
You find out life's this game of pennies.
Oh, you guys know we only have a 40% runner. Hello? 40% right is a f***ing killing.
We've been compliant for too long. It's time we go to war.
I don't have a Roth.
Q knows so much about the market that his brain doesn't have enough room for grammar.
Hey, who told me about IDEX? It's going up a shit ton now.
Rob, 4%, baby.
No way.
4%.
You asked the exact same question with two words different.
It's like, f***, man, I just got dick whipped for like 20%, and now that f***er's up like 50.
I bet Warren Buffett never did that.
I'm just making this voice memo to call out unusual whales to a fight.
The pennies we need are everywhere around us.
Pennies.
Going in raw.
Featuring Dan, Deity of Dips,
and Hugh Honey.
Produced by Vinny
and Christian.
Let's go, baby.
Welcome back to another episode of Pennies Going in Raw. Today is Wednesday, June 29th, and a SPY is closing around 380. Yesterday, we hit around 390. It looked like we might continue, but it definitely looked like it was a little overbought on the first day of the week. How did you kind of play it? And then obviously, we can go into some of the stocks that went crazy after the Roe vs. Wade overturn.
Yeah, you know what? I actually kind of fumbled the bag today a little bit. When I tweet out the SPY levels that I tweet out every day, I was expecting a move higher and then I'd wanted lower over the next days. And I said, maybe even over the next week. And that's what I was expecting. And so when we popped hard as hell off open, I had wanted to see basically what we had done is that we had gone up to, and I'm looking at SPX, we had gone up to like 3942. And then we pulled back a little bit. And what I wanted to see for a short was us to retest 3942 after retesting 3914. And then I wanted to see a fail off there. But instead, I mean, there was just no bid all day. It was just the second that it hit, you know, I mean, we had rejected 3945. And then from there, it was just a straight no bid sell down day. You know, every pop was sold into. I mean, I had tried to sink my teeth into two or three times and I had just gotten crossed up a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I really, you know, it's kind of a shame because there's a lot of opportunity today. But, you know, I just didn't want to get into a situation where I chased something and then it went against me, you know, because I had chased it and it didn't go my way. And then I got smoked because inside like low volume environment, you know, they can kind of do whatever they want. Like, for instance, I was talking to a buddy and he was like, you know, technicals should be off the chart, you know, oversold. And the issue with that is that when you have low volume, the technicals lag because, again, there's not as much volume. So it's kind of like, you know, if you do, let's just say that you're used to lifting 250 pounds for 20 times, and then you lift 75 pounds for, you know, 40 times. Is it more of volume? Yes. But are you lifting less weight? Yes. And so it affects you less. It's different for weightlifting. That really wasn't a good example. but you get what I'm saying, is that even though we made like a 3% intraday move, because of the light volume, it's really like we really didn't make that move, if that kind of makes sense. Like, if we're going to...
Yeah, dude. I know it's always quality over quantity, but in the market, the quality without quantity isn't as quality.
Mm-hmm.
That was some smart shit. Wrap your head around that.
Yeah, that was good. I like that. Yeah. And so that's why I really want to get into a situation where, you know, a relative volume picked up in one way or the other, either for me or against me. You know, I mean, you could really make a movement inside this environment. So I just decided to kind of chill. I think I was down like $400 or something today. I did take, so recording this on Tuesday night, I did take over, like, just for fun, like 3K in tomorrow SPX puts, you know, just to see if they wanted to bring it a little bit lower. Now, we do have GDP tomorrow.
Define GDP for the people unaware.
Yeah, gross domestic product.
Yeah, so usually if you said, hey, we got GDP tomorrow, gross domestic product doesn't exactly sound like something we can have tomorrow. It sounds like something that's been around for a while.
Yeah, well, I guess she has been around a lot for a while. And I mean, it'll be really interesting because really...
When you say GDP is happening, like, what do you mean by GDP is happening?
So the data report comes out tomorrow.
Because I just keep hearing gross domestic product is happening. I'm like, there's no fucking verb here.
Yeah, that's not a thing. Yeah. So the thing with GDP is that the big thing is that the Fed is supposed to react based on the quality of the economy. And obviously the Fed is reacting currently and tightening because of things outside of not necessarily outside of the economy, but based on other factors other than just, you know, what the numbers say for the economy, you know, what's our spending, what's the government spending, et cetera, things like that. This is why GDP it's not going to be like a cause and effect. It's not going to be like GDP is shit tomorrow and all of a sudden we're at like 320 in 2 days. That's not the way that this works. What this just does is that this is kind of like guidance.
It's not as effective as the Fed, but it's like preemptive of what the Fed could be doing.
Yeah, exactly. Because although it's lagging, you know, obviously it's a report, so it's lagging. You know, if let's just say that, you know, I think like tomorrow's estimate's like 21 trillion or something, then, and let's just say that we're at like 14 trillion or something, you know, that's when the market would get smoked.
That would be terrible.
But again,
if we had half as much GDP as we expected, yeah.
But again, though, is that the chances of that happening are extremely low because GDP, you know, a lot of things go into GDP, and some of those, you know, a lot of that has to do with what we see inside the public companies.
The supply chain issue is a lot more serious than we expected. If it's half of what we got, exactly.
But it's kind of cheating because when the companies report, you know, like our big companies report, you know, the biggest companies in the world are public companies. You know, like there's very few companies inside the top 100 that are private. And so when we think about it like that, you know, we kind of get to peek at what GDP is going to be based on really the quarterly reports of the big companies. The biggest thing that we don't want to see, well, so here's the thing, is that tomorrow, technically, we could declare a recession because it would be two quarters of declining growth, you know, and that's technically what a recession is for anyone that, you know, took finance 101. And so that comes out tomorrow at 8:30 in the morning. So when you guys are hearing this, it'll already be out. Now, with this low volume, I really think that that this is going to be a lag kind of situation. And what I mean by that is that I think that whatever happens tomorrow, I mean, good or bad, I think that the market will take time to digest because, again, is that it's not necessarily like we kind of have a cheat code for tomorrow. It's really like if we declined by 2.5% instead of 2%, you know, that's going to signal a more significant decrease in growth than what we expected. And so it's not like, you know, everybody, you know, come together and, you know, stop spending money or you know, start spending money. But it's really going to signal, you know, the strength of the economy over the next 16 to 18 months, you know, because of the timeline that we're on. So I personally, like, I don't put too much into it. I personally like to look at the bigger picture of things. So, like, you know, what consumers are, you know, what consumers are spending, how much they're saving, you know, home sales, stuff like that. GDP, the one thing about GDP is that it's kind of a situation where you can kind of get creative accounting because you have GDP, GNP, and GNI. Now, obviously, we know what GDP is, but I mean, we can go over it again. But again, is that there is adjustments to GDP. So real quick, I pulled up Investopia and it says adjustments to GDP. A number of adjustments can be made to a country's GDP to improve the usefulness of this figure. Now, so when I say creative accounting, this is what I'm talking about. The usefulness of this figure, okay? For economists, a country's GDP reveals the size of the economy but provides little information about the standard of living in that country, which again is why like I pay more attention to housing price or, you know, how many houses are being sold, what's the average house price being sold, what are consumers spending, what are consumers saving? Because this is just kind of like, you know, this is kind of like, if we're going to put it into perspective, it's like, every day you just get like a sheet of what Apple's market cap is. And that's like kind of what this is, or quarterly. If you never got to saw Apple's stock price, but you only got to see their market cap like quarterly, this is kind of what
trading
this is.
Would be a lot more fun like that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Taking shots in the dark.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. And so I'll just read this just because, you know, I think that they explained it really well. But part of the reason of this is the population size and cost of living are non-consistent around the world. For example, comparing the nominal GDP of China to the nominal GDP of Ireland would not provide much meaningful information about the realities of living in these countries because China has approximately 300 times the population of Ireland. So basically, they just kind of go, you know, as I'm skimming it, they just kind of go into why, you know, GDP per capita is more important. And again, because we're American citizens and I trade U.S. equities only for the most part, I only care if we declined, if we increased and what that number is. I don't really care about per capita. You know, like I'm kind of nerdy, so I like to look at it for fun.
The only per capita we're worried about is 330-ish million people the 50 states.
Yeah, exactly.
For the market. But other than that, we care about all people.
Exactly. And so that's why GDP, I don't take as much weight on it. Again, because we do kind of get to peek behind the curtain with the bigger companies. You know, when they, you know, they report report earnings, you know, months before GDP comes out. So that's why I really think that that's not like too crazy. And then, you know, just while we're on it, we'll go over GNP and GNI. So GNI is gross national income. And so basically, according to Investopia, it's another measure of economic growth and is the sum of all the income earned by citizens or nationals in a country. So the relationship between GNP and GNI is similar to the relationship between production output approach and the income approach used to calculate GDP. So this whole paragraph, what this is saying is, again, is that if one number looks better than the other, you're probably going to see the news talking about the number that looks better. You know, it's kind of like one of those situations where, you know, I can look at, you can show me a chart and I can give you a bull and a bear case for it no matter what. That's GNI. And then the last one that we have is GNP. And GNP is gross national product. And that's a measurement of the overall production of people or corporations native to, you know, our country, including those based abroad. So GNP excludes domestic production by foreigners. Now, again, it's one of those things where, you know, if GNP is really that different than GDP or GNI, then, you know, we'll
just
probably...
means we have more people overseas. Like, we just have less... You imagine, like, how often does this come out? Quarterly, annually?
Well, I mean, technically they take...
Or the GDP report.
So the big...
Yeah. Because you'd imagine that nationally, or whichever one has it, just the people in the country and not including foreigners outside, because you got to think the lockdowns and everything over the past couple of years probably had a lot more people... Americans back in America, you know?
Well, see, that's exactly, yeah. So like, it's really not, you know, like, I'm not a big fan of using GDP to like, I definitely don't know what other formula you could use to scale the size of the economy. Cause again, we're talking about, you know, upwards of 20 trillion, 22 trillion.
Just add up everyone's net worth in America and then we'll just figure it out from there, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, while we're doing the what's it called? The census report, we'll just ask everyone how much money they have and their assets, general net worth, and we just add it all up and hope everyone's being honest.
Hope everyone's being honest, especially the like 20% of Americans that don't pay taxes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so pretty much that's like I said, is that GDP, like, you know, you'll see, because they use it as the overall economic scale, you'll see a lot of people put weight onto it. But I'm not a huge fan of that. And me personally, you know, like I said, is that to me, the outlook or kind of where we're at inside the timetable of different things, I like to look at, like I said, is that what we're spending, what we're saving, how much we're spending. And then the last thing about GDP is that, you know, it doesn't, although it says it accounts for everything inside the economy. And again, I understand that this would be extremely difficult to create one formula to account for everything. But again, it's just not like the most effective formula inside my opinion. Now, and if anyone wants the GDP formula, it is consumption plus government spending plus investments plus net exports. So again, it's consumption. So, you know, I was going to say what we consume, but, you know, intake, government spending, investment, and net exports. Now, I don't know exactly, like, you know, what exactly is inside what's considered inside investments, but it says that, you know, pretty much private domestic investment or capital expenditures. Now, again, is that this is probably something that is going to be pretty skewed, because this year, when we knew that we were raising rates, this is when all of the companies led to go and borrow the last little bit of cheap money that they could. And so that's going to be inevitably higher. Although if we knew that interest rates weren't going to rise, would that investment number be lower? Probably. You know, so there's like a lot of little variables that go into this that play a pretty big part that, again, can just be like short-term variables. And when we're looking at 12 to 16 month outlook on the economy, it can get really, you know, it can get really skewed, because if you're going to talk about, you know, net exports, you know, net exports is exports minus imports. Well, you know, again, is that if we have one, if we're exporting, you know, a shit ton because of the supply chain issues inside China, or vice versa, you know, let's just say that China's not, let's just say that China's not exporting a lot to us because of the supply chain issues. Well, I mean, that doesn't mean that we're not getting anything imported. That just means that we're having issues outside of the scope that a net export formula allows for. You know what I mean? So like, we're kind of getting to the weeds of it, but pretty much I'm just...
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Just not a huge fan of this formula.
All right. Well, moving on to another topic of, a lot of debate. The Roe versus Wade overturned, and while we're not going to comment too much on it, on the actual cases, we're two dudes. But Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade, ending rights to abortion upheld for decades. Okay, well, Winstock had quite a reaction to it, and actually, a friend of the podcast, EVFM, I think we actually had it as a DD of the day back in the day, in like one of the first 15 episodes. But you saw it go from 25 or like 29 cents to $1.43.
Yeah.
And not only that, but this morning, Tuesday, it had an agreement with the pharmacy company, probably because they realized, you know, because EVFM essentially is a woman's contraceptive. I don't know how exactly it works, if it's a pill that works like birth control.
Oh, I went very deep down this rabbit hole.
Okay. I know IUDs or whichever ones destroy tanks.
So EVFM, not to cut you off, okay? EVFM's signature, or I don't know, is that the right word for this? But their signature contraceptive is called Phexxi, and it's supposed to be a hormone-free birth control. And the way that it works, at least from my understanding, is that you shoot it up the woman's place.
Come on, dude, go all in, Mr. Know-it-all.
No, listen. All right, I wanted listen, when Phexxi came to market, I had their capital structure down to a science.
Like, I knew everything about all the technicals, but whenever I went to go look at it, I was like, ooh, grossy, yuck.
I literally, bro, I'm telling you, I went through everything. I saw it so much that I started getting Instagram ads for Phexxi. And I was like, you know, I saw the packaging, you know, like
I don't need vag cream.
Yeah, I'm literally, bro, I was all in. I was talking to the CFO, you know, like I was talking to investor relations. I was all over EVFM. And then they tried to, you know, and then
They probably thought you were like a fucking prostitute. They're like, dude, like, you probably should just use condoms, practice safe sex. You're like, no, I need to know how good this works.
Well, see, here's the thing is that I was like a true, like, and not that I'm not a true believer in the product. I think hormone-free hormone-free contraceptive is fantastic.
Yeah, because contraceptives and girls, dude. I've had a girlfriend that was like switching birth controls. My God, was she bitchy, dude. All the time. All the time. Hormonal as fuck. So maybe I should be in on Fexy too.
So basically, I totally do not know enough about any of this. I just found out about like pH levels when I was doing this. Like I really, really went down this rabbit hole.
Where were you during ninth grade science?
Safe
water levels, pH, I think it's like 7.
No, I understand, maybe. But like I meant for girls.
Okay. Yeah, then I must not know much about the female anatomy either.
Whatever. I went down this rabbit hole. And this rabbit hole was interesting, and I became a pretty big fan of Fexy. I thought that, you know, at the time it had, this is 2 years ago, So it was like 92% effective if you used it correctly, I think all the way up to 97%. So it was pretty close to normal contraceptive or the top, like Plan B and the pill and stuff like that. So I was a fan. And again, non-hormonal is fantastic. And they were trying to make it relatively cheap.
Well, I mean, now you're looking at it and it's up 300% or whatever in the past few days. Obviously, would recommend if you like DD on it or whatever to wait to get in at this price. But what kind of got you out? Because I know you hopped out a while ago.
Yeah.
But I mean, 2020 hindsight, probably a good move judging by the stock price. I mean, it's in between. I mean, it bottomed out at like 11 cents or some shit. This year.
I had that thing 2 years ago or something, maybe even, I don't know how long ago it was, but yeah, I had that thing probably closer to like $2.
But now, it has such a bigger place in the market. I mean, we should have thought about EVFM with the whole Roe versus Wade thing going on, similar to how we were talking about how we should have thought about CEI when the whole Russian thing was going on. It's just, some things just seem so obvious. You just forget about them.
Yeah. But the one thing that I will say about, you know, the Roe versus Wade is that, in EVFM specifically, is that this company, again, this company, you can say whatever you want. They have no company specific news to go up 300%. Like no reason whatsoever. It's not like, you know, instantly their revenue is going to go up 40, 50 million. You know, if they put out a press release, we expect, based on this ruling, our analysts expect 40 to 50 million more in revenue per quarter. Done. Fine. But the fact that this thing went from 20 cents to $1.50 on absolutely no company specific news is a pretty big red flag. And again, if I know EVFM, and maybe they've changed over the last year and a half, 2 years. However, if I know them and I haven't looked at their cash position, actually, while we're doing this, I'm gonna look at the cash position.
You got to think about it also like this is, while they, I mean, it's been so soon since the overturn of the Roe versus Wade that, I mean, you got to expect that a lot of investors have got to be thinking about, hey, I could probably put a good bit of money into some female contraception companies like this. And I mean, seems it's a decently big one.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, this is exactly what I'm talking about. This fucking company, man. I'll tell you. This company has $6 million in cash.
Until Kathy Woods fucking puts in 100 mil.
Wait, it gets better. And they have 120 million in debt. They have 4 times their market cap in debt right now. I mean, when the company was trading at 30 cents, what was that? Like fucking 15 times?
Three business days ago.
Yeah, 3 business days ago. You know, it had 15 times, you know, as much debt as the market cap. Yeah, no. This company is a piece of shit. Their net cash position is negative $113 million. That's $3 for every share. $3 fucking. Now I remember why I actually hate this company. This company, if they're smart, they should be diluting $1 billion fucking dollars here. They should be diluting the shit out of it right here. If I were them, I'd be diluting it. And again, because before, it's one thing or another, you know, but when they were doing the marketing campaign and stuff, you know, like they didn't need to raise. They raised because they saw the stock price up and they felt good about it. Now they need to raise because they'll go bankrupt. I mean, they'll go bankrupt in you know, again, they only have their negative net cash position is negative 113 million. So that's the thing, is that now they need to raise. So if they're smart right now, how much volume did this thing do today? Today they did volume of, oh my God, they didn't do anything in volume. They did 396,000 shares in volume. They need to do, wow. I don't even know. I was going to say that they should do a $50 million offering, but they can't. They'll tank the stock. So, you know, maybe they do like a $200,000 offering to get them through the next quarter. I don't know.
$200 million or $200,000?
$200,000. Because again, the stock ended at 107. You know, it traded total volume dollars, 396,000. So it didn't trade anything. You know, like you and I probably traded more volume than this stock. So honestly, like if I were them, I'd probably do like a $50 million shelf offering. You know, and just take this puppy back to 20 cents, just, you know, because they have there's nothing else that they can do, you know, unless Bexy starts.
It took quite a big Supreme Court overruling to make it go up this much. You don't really get those too often. I mean, there's rioting over this, right? Well, not rioting, but, you know, quite a lot of protesting going on over this right now.
Yeah, exactly. And so like I said, EVFM, even in my opinion, even more of a piece of garbage than before. You know, I mean, maybe it gets there, but again, is that the company will have to raise. I mean they'll have to. There's no other way to put it. You know, although I'd like to see this thing move up, because I, like myself, I know a lot of people really like this company, because again, is that, you know, what I thought they were trying to do and what they were trying to do, you know, was really cool, I felt. And I wanted to see it succeed. But, you know, sometimes it's the management. And I gotta be honest, like the management, like at the time, like the CEO was selling stock, and she had said that it was to buy her parents her house or something. But the issue with that was that she could have done.
God, that pissed me off so much as an investor.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, was that I basically, someone had asked her why she didn't, you know, because again, is that she had, you know, like literally a week before this, she had said something along the lines of like, I thought that, or she said that, I don't think that the stock price goes any lower than where it's at currently. You know, I think it's valued to, you know, a multi-bag. And then like a week later, she was selling shares. And like an analyst or something was like, why didn't you just take a loan out against your shares? Because again, as long as the stock price doesn't get smoked, which, you know, down where it was, it would only get smoked if, you know, the company had to do something. And she gave like some answer, like, I don't know, like I didn't know that was a thing or something. Like, that's such BS. But that's all. That's on that company. You know, I'm just not a big fan of them. You know, I when you have $100 million in debt and only $6 million in cash, you know, you gotta sell a lot of Fexy.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us on this one. We will see you on Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your trading week, and we will see you next time.
Penny's Going in Raw is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.